Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for another edition of the Light Church Podcast. Well, as we began to study last week, we have began to study on making a decision to go to Israel, but this will really work for any area that you need to make a decision on. You know, there are things in our life that God has put us in authority over. Glory to God, we have authority in many things in life, and we can be trusted by God to make some decisions, glory be unto God. There are certain things that we don't have authority over. For instance, when I was growing up, my parents had the authority in my home. My parents were the authority figures, and I had to obey them, glory to God, because it was their responsibility, and they're going to have to stand before God. It was their responsibility to raise me up in the way that I should go, to train me up, glory to God, so that when I was old, I wouldn't depart from it. So they're going to have to stand before the Lord on how they raised up their son, David Irwin Oakes. Glory to God. They're in the workplace. Sometimes you have bosses, and they are the authority in the workplace. You just can't do anything and everything you want in the workplace. But then there are other times, because God has made us individuals, praise be unto God. He did not make us robots, and He has given us the ability to make certain decisions in our life. And if we are functioning within the parameters of the Word of God, we can be trusted to make good decisions. Now, some people operate outside of God's command. Well, how do I know if I'm operating outside of the commands of God? Well, that's why you've got to study. The Bible tells us this, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has put forth in His words what we are to do and how we're supposed to act. And if we operate in the parameter of that word, then we can be trusted by the Lord God Almighty to make decisions, glory to God, that will be advantageous for our life and for the kingdom of God and for those that we come into contact with. Now, we found out something about the Apostle Paul, and we won't go over these scriptures again, for you can get them from the previous podcast. But we found that there were times when the Apostle Paul did things just because simply he thought it necessary. He thought it was good. Glory be unto God. And then there was one place where he thought it not good. And then there was another place in Acts the 15th chapter where it says this concerning the elders in the church, it seemed good unto us. And so there are times, my friends, as we stated and spent our 30 minutes on last week, there are times when we can do things simply because they seem good. Now, that doesn't mean I can go out and get drunk. Well, it just seemed good to me, you know, just to go out and get drunk. Yeah, seems good to me. Well, that's operating outside of the parameters of God. Well, that can't be trusted. No, because God doesn't want us, according to the Word, to turn our mind over to anything. It says this in the Romans. Paul spoke to the church and said this, that we were to renew our minds to prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We got to renew our minds. We cannot be conformed to this world, but we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God wants us to have control of our mind, not just let our mind do whatever it wants. That's one of the reasons why the Word of God stands against drunkenness and this day and time against the use of drugs, because we're turning over our minds to something other than the Word of God. People do funny, ugly things when they lose control of their mind because of substances. That wasn't ever God's plan, my friends. It was never God's plan. And so you just can't do things that, well, that seemed good to me, so I'm just going to go out and do something. Well, my friends, you just can't do that. Do you like my voices today? I tell you what, I've got a lot of them living here in Oklahoma. You don't have to go far to find some interesting accents. We'll put it that way. Well, you know, it just seemed good to me to go out and do this thing. Well, that thing that is outside the parameters of the Word of God. No, we're talking about functioning inside the parameters of the Word of God, my friends. Then you deciding to do something, if it seems good, will in fact be good. You know, that's it. It might seem good to you, but the end result is it's really got to be good. It just can't seem good to you, and at the end result, something bad be the result. No, it's got to be good in line with the word of the living God. Now, we have been speaking again on the subject of making a decision to go to Israel. And I said this last time we were together, I said there are three primary reasons why people won't go to Israel. Number one is money. Number two is fear. And number three is apathy. And I've dealt with them all, because I've taken hundreds of people to the land of Israel in my 27 journeys over there. And so I've about seen it all. You know, you have people come up to you in 1 minute, boy, we're going. Praise the Lord, Brother David, we're going with you to Israel next time. We'll get mail. We'll get emails. We'll get telephone calls from all around the nation. Oh, yeah, Pastor, we're going with you. Oh, Pastor David, you know, so-and-so told me what a glorious time they had on the trip, and we're going to go, we're going to go. And we get up about a month away from it, and they get another call or a letter. And we'll get a little letter, you know, we're not sure we can do it, you know. And it's either going to bear down to money, fear, or apathy. Well, that's what we're going to deal with. Hallelujah. Some people think that it seems good to go. And then the sharks, as we talked about last podcast, the sharks start swimming around in the water. The shark of money, the fear and apathy. And these items are what we're going to look at. Glory to God. Now turn with me, if you would please, to Genesis, the 41st chapter. And we're going to begin to look at the subject of money. Some people let the fact that it cost a little bit of money to go over there, and folks, it does. Airline tickets are not cheap to go to Israel. Hotels are not cheap to go to Israel. It's not a cheap proposition in the least. People start thinking, well, you know, I got some other uses for that money. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know something before we even read tonight. God is a big God, and God is great at multitasking. I made that statement in my church a couple of years ago, I guess, and it still holds true. God is a big God, and God is great at multitasking. In other words, my friends, God cannot be held to only one category. You know, you'll believe in God for finances over in this area here. Boy, and all your attention, oh, I've got to get finances for that area. And for some reason, we think God's locked into that one area, and he can't be doing multiple things in your life at one time. God is big. God is a magnificent God, and God can be taking care of situations financially in one area, in another area, in another area, in another area, in another area. The only thing that's keeping God from doing that is we are putting God in a small place. And we're saying, well, God's really not big enough. You know, I've got to believe God. I've got to believe God. Oh, Pastor David, I've got to believe God for my rent next month. How can I ever expect to do anything else? Because God's big. God is not held captive by the price that it costs you to live in your house or to pay your car payment. If you're locked into a car payment, thanks be unto God, Pastor David doesn't have a car payment. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. But I remember one time I did. I remember one time, you know, I owed on this and owed on that. Well, I don't have those things that I owe on anymore. Blessed be the name of God. Because I found out something. God can take care of all those areas, my friend, simultaneously. He's not held captive by your bills. He's not held captive by your education that you have to, money that you have to have going out for education. He's not held captive by the money you have to have to feed your family. God's not held captive. God is a big God. Say it out loud. God is a big God. I'm hearing you now. God is a big God, and he is great at multitasking. Say that, and he is great at multitasking. God can have multiple things on his table that concern you and your life simultaneously. He's not held captive by any one thing. So when you start thinking about money to do something, you know, I just wish I had more money to give. Well, you can have, just believe God. God is the provider of seed for sowers. God provides you seed simultaneously. He'll be taking care of your house payment. Simultaneously, he'll be putting clothes on your back. Simultaneously, my friends, God is not held captive by your little world. God wants to expand your world, glory to God. And the only way he can expand your world is to be doing multiple things in your world right now. So you have to believe in your heart. Are you listening to Pastor David? You have to believe, shoot this shark in the water that makes you think God can't handle all these things in your life. Shoot it. I mean, get your spear gun out and shoot that shark that's swimming around you. And you have to know that God is a big God and God is great at multitasking. Say it again. God is a big God and He is great at multitasking. God can do more than one thing for you at a time. Now, we have Genesis, the 41st chapter. Excuse me while I preach a little bit, my friend. Hallelujah. Psalm 41. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to notice verse 52. This is so powerful. Joseph is speaking, and Joseph has been in Egypt, and Joseph has a child. And notice what Joseph calls his child. Well, he had two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it says in verse 52, "And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Did you get that? The word Ephraim means fruitful. Well, just recently, a week or two before this podcast airs, I just recently got back from the land of Israel, and I spent a couple of days in the territorial possessions of Ephraim. And Ephraim means fruitful. Fruitful. Now, notice when he had this child, and notice what he says about the name of this child. "For God hath caused me to be," notice it, "for God hath caused me to be fruitful." Where was he fruitful? In the land of my affliction. So he was in a place that he was in a land of captivity, in a land of that was not the land of the children of Israel. But no matter where he was at, he continued to be fruitful. God made him fruitful no matter where he was at. I want you to get that. You know, the town I live in, I just can't prosper in the town that I live in. Let me tell you what, you might be afflicted in that town, but fruitfulness, my friends, will still come to you if you'll believe God. Well, you just don't know the nature of the city that I live in. You know, it's a poor place. There aren't many jobs, Pastor David. There aren't many jobs. The voices are back. There aren't many jobs. It doesn't matter. This man, God caused him to be fruitful in the land of his affliction. And let me tell you, your name might be Tom. Your name might be Mary, Steve, Jack, Gwyneth. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter where you live. The power of the living God is present, my friends, to bring fruitfulness in your situation. Are you listening now? Now, let's look at another scripture because I want you to know something. God is a big God, and God is not moved by your situation. I just don't see how I could ever have money to go to Israel. You know, I really want to because I love the Jewish people, and I just really don't know, Pastor David, how I'll ever have the money. Let me tell you what. I know how you'll have the money. God's big. God's big, and God can do more than one thing for you at a time. That's how you're going to have the money to go, just like Pastor David has to believe God for money. Pastor David and his wife have been 27 times to Israel. I've been 26 times with her. One time I went without her, and one time she went without me. And that is tens of thousands of dollars we have believed God for. And simultaneously, we still have the money to be on the internet. Simultaneously, we still have the money to go preach the gospel in other lands. Simultaneously, we have the money to be here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and keep a church ministry functioning. Simultaneously. Well, how can you do it? The same way you're going to do it. Realizing, glory to God, that you serve a big, mighty, wonderful God, and He is great at multitasking. God can do it. God can build buildings the same time He can pay for your missions trips. God can build buildings. God can bring people into the kingdom of God the same time He's paying for everything. God can do multiple things simultaneously. He is not you. Well, there's a revelation right there. God is not you. Praise the Lord, you trust a God that's bigger than any of us. And He is all-powerful. And He is all-present. And He just wants to use His all-power and His all-presence in every area of your life. So He can live, glory to God, and paying your bill. And He can live over here in this other area where you're believing God and your desires are being met. And He can live over in this area right here where He's blessing your family. And He can live over here where He's healing your aunt and uncle. And He lives over there in the area, glory to God, where those loved ones, hallelujah, that have not come to Jesus, He lives over there. there in that area and bring them into the kingdom of God. God is a big God, and he's great at multitasking. Now look at here, chapter 47 of Genesis. I want you to notice verse 11. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt and the best of the land in the land of Ramesses as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Now notice this. I mean, they're in a time that famine is in the land. You should go back and read the whole story. And it says Joseph nourished his father and his brethren, and all of his father's household with bread according to their families. He fed the whole lot of them that came out of Israel. Notice the very next word, and there was no bread in all the land. There was no bread anywhere except, glory be unto God, Joseph had bread to feed his family. Don't tell me God's not a great God. Nobody else had anything but Joseph, praise be unto God, the one that God had made fruitful in the land of his affliction. He had enough to feed all of the 70 that came out of the land of Israel into the land, the glory to God, of Egypt. And God provided for them. Notice that again. And Joseph nourished his father with bread. Oh, just read it all. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. Everything around them was fainting because of the famine. But this family and this household, blessed be the name of God, was not involved in it because God was being mighty on their behalf. I just don't see how I ever have the money. You just don't know what I live in. You might be in famine. There might be famine all around. But what's that have to do with the child of the living God? You can continue to be fed, glory to God, when famine is affecting everybody around you. What was the difference? Well, he was a man who was functioning according to the word of God. He was where God wanted him, praise be unto God, hallelujah. And God was showing forth him to be an example of the glory and the majesty of the Almighty God. And God was providing for him and all of his family. And God does the same thing for us now, my friends. You just got to believe it. You got to believe it and meditate on it. Get out of that rut. Get out of that rut where you're saying, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Pastor David, I just don't know what I'm... Get out of that rut. Get out right now. I mean, just turn the steering wheel and climb out of that rut. Get back on the high place. Glory to God. Get out of that rut and start thinking, I serve a big God. And my big God is great at multitasking. My God moves on my behalf. My God provides all of my needs according to his riches and glory. There is wealth and riches in my house. My house is not dependent upon what's going on the outside. There may be famine on the outside, but the glory of God lives within inside these walls, and money comes to me on every wave because I keep on casting my bread upon the water. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the word of God, my friends. I'm not talking about some lie that the devil is trying and some fraud that he's perpetrated upon the body of Christ. My God is big. He's a big God. Well, you know, it seems good to me. You know, I really want to go to Israel. I really want to do things for God. But I see this shark of money, and I just don't think that I can get it. I don't think I can get it. I don't think I... Wait. Shh, 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 shh. Silence. Peace. Still, God's a big God. I'm telling you a secret in your ear. God's a big God, and my God is great at multitasking. He can do in every area of your life. I'm going to keep saying it. I had not planned to be on this long, but there are several of you who need to hear it. God, oh, get this. This is anointed. God not only is able, but he desires to move in every area of your life, sweet saint, and to bless you simultaneously in every area of your life. You are in line to be blessed because you are the blood-bought of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it goes down to verse 27 of Genesis 47 and says, And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Did you hear that? Here was famine in the land, but God's providing bread when there was no bread for anybody else because of the famine. And there Israel dwelt, and there they had possessions, and there they grew, and there they multiplied exceedingly. God, my friends, has not only got that reserved for the children of Israel in the land of Goshen, God's got that for every saint who believes His word. You ought to say with me again, God is a big God, and He's great at multitasking. Oh, you need to know that about your Lord. He can do things. He can pay your bills, and He can pay for you and be a blessing to you to go to the land of Israel. Just dare believe Him. Just dare believe Him. Just dare stand before God and say, God, I believe Your word. I believe that You're a big God. I believe You pay all the way. I believe You give me the desires of my heart. I believe that You meet all of my need according to Your riches and glory. I believe it, Lord. I believe it. I say I'm a believer, and I believe that You meet my needs. And I believe, Lord, today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, Father God, in Jesus' name, that You provide for me the finances to go to the land of Israel. I am here, and I have an agenda, and that agenda is to get people to go to Israel and support Israel and the Jewish people. I have an agenda, my friends, and that is to get you to go over to Israel and spend some money and be a blessing to their economy. I have an agenda, my friends, for you to go over and be an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be an example of His love shining forth from you. I have an agenda to get you to go over there and be a blessing to the needy in Israel and supply them with finances, not just to get yourself over there, but to have enough to be a blessing to them. Oh, I've taken several tens of thousands of dollars to be a blessing over in Israel, and I'm believing God for more. In fact, my friends, you might be one who's saying, I wish I knew someplace where I could give to Israel. I really don't know where I can give. Let me tell you what. You can give to David Oaks Ministries. You can send money to David Oaks Ministries, earmark it for Israel, and you can put in there however much money you want in a check and send it to P.O. Box 3261. That's P.O. Box 3261, Bartlesville, Oklahoma 74006. And I will make you a promise. We did this in a recent trip. We told people that every single penny that came into the ministry would go directly to Israel to be a blessing to the poor, to be a blessing to the needy, to help people get reestablished in jobs that were kicked out of the Gaza Strip by the Israeli government under the pressure of the world's nations. And the world's nations will be held accountable for that act. You listen now. We told people we'll give every cent, and you know, we did it. Every penny that came in, we gave. We make that promise to you. If you want to give to Israel, there's nothing taken out for overhead, my friends. It all goes to be a blessing to the people of Israel. We have had people who are not even associated with our ministry. God has led them into our ministry, and they have given thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Because they said, God told us to give you money that you would know where to put it in the land of Israel. And let me tell you what, folks, people who were not even associated with our ministry, sent by the Holy Ghost, because we believe God to be a house where they can bring their money and we can distribute it in places we know are deserving in the land of Israel. We did what we said that we would do, and we will continue to do it in Jesus' name. If you're one who would like to give to Israel, remember David Oaks Ministries. Remember that we have specific places that we love to give. You can make your check out and send it to David Oaks Ministries at P.O. Box 3261, Bartlesville, Oklahoma 74006. That's David Oaks Ministries, P.O. Box 3261, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, Bartlesville, Oklahoma 74006. You can send money to the ministry, and you can say Israel on it, and that money is going to go right to Israel. Praise the Lord. God provides all of our needs in our ministry, and we have a commission from the Lord to give money and to be a blessing to those in need in the land of Israel. and to help them fulfill their God-given plan to be fruitful and to inhabit the land of Israel. Blessed be God. I didn't expect to go in to a commercial, but we just did. Hallelujah. God is good. I said, God is good. Now turn with me, if you would please, in our last few minutes today to 1 Samuel. We're talking about God will provide the money for you. Money is no problem for God in the midst of famine. My friends, He is still bringing the money. We've seen that in the Word of God. Now look at 1 Samuel, if you would please, chapter 30. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God for His wonderful wisdom and His Word. We must hurry here because we just have a few minutes. Here we are in chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Just for speed's sake, we know what happened, that the people that were with David, I mean their wives and all of their families and all their stuff, was stolen when they were invaded, when the Amalekites came. Verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, I tell you what, that's a revelation right there. When things are going rough, don't crawl under a rock. I mean, start encouraging yourself in the Lord. The word in Hebrew is chazak. You got to chazak yourself. Are you listening? That's the same word over there that God was speaking to Yeshua, speaking to Joshua as he was getting ready to go into the promised land. And he said, be strong and of good courage. Chazak, he said, chazak ve'amatz. And so David had to chazak himself. And he told Joshua how to chazak himself and be strong. That was to speak the word of God, hallelujah, and to meditate upon the word, and he would be successful. So David's encouraging himself in the Lord. He's chazaking himself. He's speaking the word. He's speaking the promises that God told him. High glory to God. He's worshiping the Lord. And then we find out that David asked him, should I pursue? Well, the Lord said, yeah, every once in a while you need to find out if this is the battle God wants you to fight. Are you listening to him? But God said, yeah, it's the one, baby. I'll give them to you. I'll give them to you. So they went on and they started going. And it gets down to verse 18. They went out after the Amalekites. In verse 18, it says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God restored what the enemy had spoiled, plus prospered him and those who weren't on the front lines doing the work down in the verse 23. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from the day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Now this is what happened. I want you to, God is a big God and great at multitasking. God went forth with them to battle. God got all the stuff back. Not only did God get all the stuff back, my friends, God did something else. God gave him the spoil of the Amalekites. And not only did he do that, he provided for all of the children of Israel. He provided for them all the stuff that they got. Plus, hallelujah, plus he provided for them all of their old stuff, all of the stuff of the Amalekites, but he also provided for all those who didn't go to battle. God can do more than one thing simultaneously. He defeated the enemy. He got their stuff back. He got the enemy's stuff for them. He provided for those who didn't even go to battle. God does more than one thing at a time. You need to know that. Well, you know, I'd go to Israel and I'd be more of a blessing to God if I just had money. Just believe him. Best believe him. Say God's a big God and God's great at multitasking. He can do simultaneously many things in my life. And kill that shark that's swimming in the waters of your life. It's not God's plan for you to be held captive by what, you know, what could I do if I just had more? My friends, God's big. This is Pastor David coming to you from the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And my decree to you is today, Jesus loves you and has blessed you. And we bless you now in Jesus' name. Bye-bye for now. Join us again.